The New England Patriots return from the West Coast at 1-3, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Gerard Mayo will be here at Gillette with us in about an hour at 9:30 or so. But right now, Boomer Esiason, and Boomer is brought to you this week by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is brought to you by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm wondering how you guys are doing. Are you guys okay?
Well, we are at Gillette Stadium, where every Monday, week after week after week, used to be a celebration of dynastic greatness. And unfortunately, it isn't this morning, Boomer.
No, it's not. And combined with all the injuries that your team has, I would venture to say at this moment in time in this season, the Patriots look to be number 32 out of 32 teams as opposed to number one. That's a long way. This team has fallen a long way.
So is this the worst team in the NFL right now?
I think it is, just simply because of the lack of offense, the lack of big plays, the amount of injuries that they're dealing with, both on defense and offense. I mean, it's staggering. And they don't have Matthew Stafford back there, so he can't keep them in games. Because the Rams are going through the same thing. It's just, you know, if Jacoby's going to turn the ball over, then it's going to turn into a rout. What they hadn't done the previous 3 weeks, they really hadn't turned the ball over. And then yesterday there were three turnovers. And, you know, I'm just wondering, and I hate to do this to Gerard Mayo because I think he is a good coach and I think the players really do respect him. But, you know, if Ramondre Stevenson is going to fumble and continue to fumble, if Bill Belichick were the head coach, do you think that guy would see the field?
Wiggy?
No. He would have been in the doghouse a long time ago. But, Boomer, what the hell are we waiting for? Let's throw all that nonsense out the window. Put Drake May in the game. The team stinks. I don't get why we just don't see what we got in here. You say we don't have Matthew Stafford. Who the hell knows what we got with Drake May if they don't play the damn kid?
Yeah, I know it sounds easy to say that. I just think they're just waiting, and I understand that there's no argument. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Well, I don't want that kid to get hurt either. You know, there are a lot of things that are going on with this team right now. Their pass protection, their left tackle has been a turnstile. You can see Jacoby is under duress. You're hoping with a veteran quarterback that he doesn't make the mistakes. Now, this is a great interception by Fred Warner yesterday. But, I mean, anytime you have three turnovers, I can't even imagine what it would look like back there with a rookie quarterback. The one thing I will say is that he will be able to make plays with his legs. That, you know, we're not seeing that with Jacoby at all. And if you watch a lot of these games during Sundays or Monday nights tonight with two games, you're going to see quarterbacks running around and making extra plays. I would imagine that's what Drake May could bring to this offense, but I think they're just waiting until the right time to put him out there. I'm not sure when that time's going to be, but I know, Wiggy, you're frustrated. I'm sure the fans are frustrated. You want to see this young kid, but they don't want to ruin him like they ruined Mac Jones, that's for sure.
Boomer, as a quarterback, though, watching Jacoby and the ownership he's been taking, I know that he talked to his team beforehand and said, it doesn't matter how many times I go down, I'm always going to get back up for you guys, getting sacked six times and taking full ownership for the mistakes he made. How important is that for the rest of the team to look at as a leader for these guys?
Totally respect it, Courtney, and the reason I respect it is because I lived it. I lived it back in 1995 with the New York Jets. We were obviously the worst team in the league. The next year after I had left, they had only won one game in 1996. So we were on the precipice of being really bad and rebuilding before Bill Parcells left New England to come and fix the Jets. But, you know, it's tough. You're out there. You're out with a bunch of guys that are, it's a revolving door, whether it be the offensive line, wide receiver, running backs are fumbling the ball. You're trying to get everybody on the same page. And all you could do is stand tall and just be the professional that you are. I do respect what Jacoby is doing. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, right now, I don't, even if you had Patrick Mahomes, it would be untenable right now for any quarterback. That's why I think they're reticent to put in Drake May at the moment.
Kendrick Bourne made the trip with them. If he's available this week, does that
change things somehow.
I don't know. I mean, unless they're playing 7-on-7, it's 7-on-7 means no defensive and no offensive linemen on the field, which is more or less flag football. But it doesn't matter. Like I said, the offensive line has got to get fixed first. The quarterback is not going to be a guy that's going to create secondary plays. He's going to try to play careful. I know what they're trying to do. I know what their winning formula is. I mean, they almost beat Seattle. They did beat Cincinnati with the winning formula. Don't turn the ball over. Play smart offense. Play field position. Kick a couple field goals. And hopefully you can keep the score combined under 40. And if you can do that, then that's the winning. That's kind of the winning formula for the Patriots. And we are so far away from where we were when the miserable Tom Brady was running the team, and Baker Mayfield, I guess, said he was miserable down in Tampa, but all he did was win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I long for the days of Tom being the most miserable 8-0 quarterback. But my thing, Boomer, is this is now the fourth consecutive year the Patriots are 1-3 after four games. And this roster, the pathetic nature of it, is a choice by the owner of this team. They could have spent more money this offseason. They were not going to win a Super Bowl. They probably weren't going to win the division. But watching this product yesterday was offensive. And I don't understand how you enter a season knowing that the offensive line will sustain injuries as weak and as thin as they elected to this year.
Yeah, and you lose David Andrews now. I don't know how long that's going to be, but I think this is a rebuilding year for them. I think they recognize that. I would imagine that they're going to spend a lot of money in the offseason. They're going to have another high draft pick. This is how you rebuild in today's NFL. And we all knew, listen, everybody knew coming in that this was going to be a hard year. Everybody knew it was going to be a slog. Everybody knew that really the only thing to look forward to in terms of the Patriots was when was Drake May going to take over and what was he going to look like? So I just want to be realistic. I mean, I didn't have any expectations for the Patriots to make the playoffs. I didn't have any expectations for the Patriots to win the division, maybe because of what the Miami Dolphins are going through right now with their own quarterback situation. Maybe somehow, some way, they stay even with them this year. But if things stay the way they are, I would think that they're going to have a top two draft pick next year, which will help in the development of the quarterback, but also help the front office be able to either take somebody at number two or one or trade that out and start rebuilding the team like some other teams around the league have done. I think that's exactly the game plan going forward into this year and then beyond that.
Every time we ask Gerard Mayo about starting Drake May, he brings up the plan. Now, nobody will say what the plan was. When the plan allows for Drake May to start, what was the plan? Like when you draft a quarterback at number three, and then you go into the season with Jacoby Brissett, who has been in the league a long time, and that's about all we can say for him. What was the plan?
The plan is not what Carolina did to Bryce Young. I can tell you that the plan is not what the Jets did to Zach Wilson. The plan is to bring this kid along slowly. The plan is to figure out the best time to put him in the game, watch him in practice, listen to him in meetings, make sure that he knows everything that's going on. I mean, a 40-year-old quarterback leading the Jets yesterday got hit with a safety blitz. I thought I'd seen everything after watching Aaron Rodgers be completely caught off guard by a safety blitz in the heart of the game when you're thinking to yourself, this guy has seen everything and he can react to everything, and he didn't react at all to it. So now put that all the way to the other end of the spectrum, and you have a young quarterback with a very, very shaky offensive line. Those two combinations do not work out, guys. I'm telling you, the last thing they want is to have Drake May get hurt. So this is going to be a learning year for him. Eventually, he'll get on the field at some point. I don't think it really matters at the present moment. I would think that probably after their bye, assuming that a Jacoby Brissett does not get hurt.
Well, you told us who the worst team in the league is right now. The Vikings have now beaten the Niners, the Texans, and the Packers. Are they the best team in the NFL right now?
I mean, they look fantastic. And this week they got to go to London and they got to play the Jets on Sunday morning. So the Jets are going to see another ghost of the past, and that's going to be Sam Darnold, who saw a ghost when he was playing New England. He's not seeing ghosts anymore. He's seeing Justin Jefferson and Addison, and he's seeing an offensive juggernaut that is being run by Kevin O'Connell, their head coach. You know, I often talk about matching coaches with quarterbacks and whether or not those quarterbacks can become who they are with the coach, with the offense that they're running. Sam Darnold's lucky. He went to quarterback school last year. He went to San Francisco, didn't play it down. Watch Brock Purdy, watch Kyle Shanahan, how they ran the offenses. Signed a $10 million a year, bet on himself, $10 million contract, bet on himself this year in Minnesota. And right now, he is looking like, you know, the second coming, for the Minnesota Vikings. So this is a huge game this week in London. I'm assuming that they're favorites as I wake up this morning, and I would imagine that he's got a lot of pent-up energy to go after the Jets, come Sunday.
Greg rigs up the Vikings, and you look at them, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, the only three undefeated teams so far through 4 weeks. For week five, you see the first real big bye of the week. For players and for coaches, is this the first time where you get a better sense of who you are as a team, where people are able to take a step back, the teams that have a bye can reevaluate, and this is where maybe going into week six we get a better sense of who we have?
Yeah, I think that there are teams like Baltimore and Cincinnati that won yesterday, and Baltimore just absolutely drilled Buffalo last night, much like Buffalo drilled Jacksonville last week. Most of the coaches think that the first 4 weeks are preseason, and then, the final 13 weeks are where you really make your move. And it seems like Cincinnati got their act together the last couple weeks offensively. Their defense is still struggling. I felt like the Houston Texans played a great game yesterday, and C.J. Stroud, had a nice bounce-back game as they beat Jacksonville. But there are teams out there like Jacksonville, like the Patriots, and, of course, you look at the Giants, where they are in trouble, and they know they're in trouble. They know that this is going to be a long season. The question is, are coaches like Doug Peterson and Brian Daboll going to be long for their teams this time next year? I guess it all depends on how these next 13 weeks kind of shake out, but there are guys that are really teetering right now, especially some of these teams that are not doing well. And I could sit here and tell you that the Los Angeles Rams are bad because of all the injuries. I could say that the New England Patriots are bad because of all the injuries. But, you talk about the Arizona Cardinals, you talk about the Giants who spent a lot of money in the offseason. Those are coaches that I would worry about long term with their respective franchises.
Is Nick Sirianni's job in jeopardy?
I would say too, yeah. I mean, simply because they hired coordinators, and I don't feel like he had any say in who they hired as coordinators. And that tells me that the GM doesn't respect the head coach, and that's a big deal. It's a big deal in Philadelphia. I mean, they win a tough game at New Orleans last week, so maybe New Orleans is not as good as we all thought they were, but Baker Mayfield bounced back, and I mean, just ripped through Philadelphia. It was interesting thinking about what Baker was saying about Tom Brady. There is something to be said about winning all those Super Bowls and showing up and holding everybody accountable, and it is not – it's not a spa. It's not a retreat. It's a professional football team, for God's sakes. Yeah.
It's not Disney, as Tom said. Right?
Exactly. I agree with him 100%. And until some of these players realize it, they'll be stuck in mediocrity, and he'll stand alone as the greatest of all time.
Question of the week for Boomer, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services. Find them at McFarlandEnergy.com. Is Jaden Daniels the front runner for Offensive Rookie of the Year right now?
100%. 100% he is. I mean, Malik Nabers will be there towards the end. It's kind of like Mac Jones and Jamar Chase, the year that those guys came out, where I thought Mac should have been the offensive rookie of the year, but Jamar had a second half of the season to remember. So Jaden Daniels right now, leader in the clubhouse. Malik Nabers, I would think, is a close second given his explosive nature with the Giants. But I think because Washington is going to obviously win more games than the Giants, he is definitely probably going to come away with it.
Well, Jaden Daniels behind that strong offensive line they get down there in Washington. Boomer, you know what I'm tired of as somebody, as a fan and somebody who sits in, talks about this every day and listens to all
losing.
The ex.
Well, you're tired of losing is what you're
yeah,
tired
I am
of,
tired of losing. No, but I'm tired of the low-hanging fruit like, oh, he's going to get hurt if you put him in the game. So I would ask you this question. What's the difference between week five and week 14 after the bye week?
His own experience, just understanding better what they're trying to do offensively, communication with his teammates. You know this, Jermaine. Come on. Like, I don't know if you've ever – did you ever play with a rookie quarterback?
Yeah, but I also – I have, but I also know that the experience –
He takes credit for Tom Brady.
I also know, as a player, the experience that you actually get from playing puts you a lot further along than sitting behind somebody – and never being able to get the only experience you get is sitting there in the classroom listening to the coach say, oh, you do this, you do that. So I don't subscribe to the...
I don't want to be disrespectful to a tight end. I don't. You guys block and catch, and you do your little thing over there, and then you go and sit on the sideline for a couple of plays, and then you come back out on there. The quarterback's got to stay out there the whole time. Uh-huh. He's got to communicate to everybody. He's got to change protections at the line of scrimmage. He's got to read what the defense is doing. You read one or two guys. I got to read 11. You know, I got to see what the hell's going on. I got to see the defensive fronts. Do we have the right run call? Do we have the right personnel on the field? You know, all you guys are sitting there looking like me, and I got to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And if I don't know what the hell I'm doing, then you're not going to know what the hell you're doing, and I'm going to end up getting killed.
Yeah. I don't know what type of tight ends you played with. You had to tell them what to do.
You explained it. Well, I think you got it. All right, Boomer. Well,
Well, hang in there. All I can tell you is just hang in there. You know what? The draft is about, what, 6 months away, and then we'll, you know, you guys will be on the clock.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you guys.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox end the season with a win 3-1, the final from Fenway Park, but no one was talking about that this morning. They're all talking about this. Here's Joe Castiglione's goodbye from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
My 42 years here have gone so quickly, but now it's time to say goodbye to Red Sox Nation, at least on a regular basis, and to pass the baton to my good friend, Will Fleming.
Well, thank you so much, Joe. Beautiful words by a beautiful man.
Thank you, and to Sean McDonough, too, a great friend. We go back many, many years with the Red Sox. And
That's nice.
Emotional.
He was over. I told you he was overcome with emotion. Yeah.
I need to hear that transition one more time.
Will was overcome with emotion, Curtis.
Did somebody die?
Oh, that's nice. You work with somebody for a long time, and I thought that was nice.
That is the most shocking thing.
Why is it shocking?
How long did they work? They
worked together for 2 years.
Yeah, but baseball seasons are long. Nice. He's a role model for people.
I think Joe Castiglione deserved that awesome weekend. 42 years. This has nothing to do with him. That is a bizarre reaction.
I think a lot of people cried listening to Joe at the end.
You think a lot of people cried?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think a lot of fans.
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
Beautiful words by a beautiful man.
That might be as worse as the Rich Keefe. Rich Keefe is... When it was Michael Hawley.
What are you talking about?
Michael Hawley. When Rich cried on air.
Oh, Rich cried.
Well, that had more to do with being stuck with Dale.
Yeah. Rich cried
on
air.
It's been a blast.
That was amazing.
Well, that does make me think, do I get to pick my successor?
Ooh.
Here on WEEI in however many years I have left. I mean,
those are beautiful words by a beautiful man.
Yeah.
I'd like to hand the baton to my good friend Chris Curtis.
Boston would cry.
Okay.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com today. The Patriots lose to the Niners 30-13 in San Francisco. Jacoby Brissett was sacked 6 times in the loss. But Boomer Esiason still not ready to say, hey, throw Drake May in there.
No.
He is staying with Jacoby Brissett, as is a lot of the other experts, like Greg's been saying all morning long.
Yep.
Jacoby completed 19 of 32 passes for 168 yards, an interception, and a touchdown.
Well, and Boomer gave you an answer. You said when you asked these guys, what's the difference between week 5 this week and week 12, 13, or 14, Boomer gave you an answer and said it's all about Drake May being ready. So
it's that's the answer, being ready?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's the answer. I mean, you're going to ask Jerod Mayo this, right? You're going to say to Jerod Mayo, what's the difference between this week and Miami?
Well, the problem is he's not going to tell us that Drake May is going to play week 12. See, Boomer and those other guys believe you should play him by week 12, week 13. Mayo's not going to tell us that.
And how do we know if May's even ready? Has anybody asked him?
No.
I think people have said, like, would you? Is he able to, like, command a huddle? And yeah, I think
he told us that already.
Yeah,
he could.
Yeah. So there's been questions.
Right, but he's never said like Drake May. I don't want to start him right now, but I have no issue starting him week 12.
Yeah.
Like Mayo's never said that. That's what all the experts say. Don't play him now, but play him week 12, 13. And that's why I say, well, what's the difference between now and week 12 or week 13? And they go, oh, he'll know it better. All that.
But really, like, you have to. It's wild to me. We talked about it earlier. But the fans are really split on this. There are a lot of people, based on that poll, who think you got to wait. And maybe that's because he's going to get. They're worried about him getting his head knocked off. Worried about the offensive line. Worried about him being ruined mentally. I mean, there are way more people than I expected this morning who do not want Drake May to start.
Yeah.
Which is wild to me.
Well, we've got two NFL games tonight for Monday Night Football. We've got Titans at Dolphins at 7:30 and Seahawks at Lions at 8:15. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
All right. 55 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Afternoon high, 70 degrees in Boston.